السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق، اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. God states in the Holy Quran: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Recite in the name of your Lord who created man from a blood clot. Recite: your Lord is most noble, who taught by the pen, who taught man that which he did not know. Amanna billahi sadaqa Allahu al-aliyyul azim. Allahumma salli. According to the school and tradition of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, the 27th of the month of Rajab, which was 2 days ago, marks the anniversary of the mab'ath of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family. That is, it marks the time in which the Prophet was charged with delivering the final divine message. According to theologians from the school of Ahlul Bayt, they tell us that the Prophet had two responsibilities or two statuses. One is as a Prophet, Nabi. And according to our scholars, the Prophet, was a Nabi since his birth. The Prophethood, the Nubuwa of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, began from the beginning of his life and extended until the end of his life. However, there was another station, another responsibility, another status that the Prophet had, and that is of being a messenger, a Rasul. And that began, this responsibility, this status, began when the Prophet was at the age of 40, approximately 13 years before his migration from Mecca to Medina. At the age of 40, we are told that his status of Risala began. It began with this event, with the Mab'ath, where the Prophet was formally charged with delivering the divine message. And this incident is well known to us. It occurred in the cave of Hira, Ghar Hira, which many of you may have visited and seen. In the outskirts of the city of Mecca, there is a mountain known as Jabal al-Nur. And when you go up the mountain all the way to the top, there's a small, very small cave known as Ghar Hira. Some of you may have visited, may have even got up there and seen the cave itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the honor, inshallah, of visiting Mecca and of seeing this place. It is during one of the Prophet's retreats to Ghar Hira. He would often retreat there. He would spend several days at once in contemplation, in worship of Allah, in remembrance of God. And during one event, while he was retreating in the cave of Hira, the tradition tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent to the Prophet, he sent the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam. And he descended upon him. And he revealed to him the first revelations, the first divine revelations, which according to our scholars, is the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, chapter number 96 in the Quran, Surah Al-Alaq, the very first five verses of this chapter were revealed to the Prophet during this time. Now, when we come to this topic of revelation, the wahi, we are told that there are two kinds of wahi, that the wahi, the revelation, occurred in two stages. One stage was wholly at once. God revealed the entire Quran, the entire revelation of the Quran to the Prophet at once. And according to the exegetes, the mufassirun of the Quran, they tell us that this occurred in the month of Ramadan, في ليلة القدر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that the revelation, the Quran, came down upon the Prophet. It was revealed to him in one piece, entirely in Laylatul Qadr. So this is one stage of revelation. The other revelation happened progressively, incrementally, in stages, over the course of 23 years. From that moment until the end of the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, 23 years later. And this revelation and the Prophet's responsibility to deliver this message occurred initially also in stages. We are told that at the very beginning, the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, he kept this invitation to Islam, to teaching, he kept it very private. It was a secret in the beginning, that only a very small number of people were aware about this. And that it was in the third year after the revelation, the third year, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet to go out and to proclaim, not to the entire public, but to his closest of kin, his family members, the members of his tribe. The Quran tells us, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn and proclaim the message to your closest of kin. And the traditions, they tell us that the Prophet, he gathered the members of Quraysh, the heads of Quraysh, he brought them together. Some of them were his, of course, the Prophet was part of Quraysh. And so the heads of the tribe, they came together and he professed to them, and the story is mentioned in the traditions. And then it was after this, so the first step was that it was in secret, very select few individuals that knew about this. The second was the family members, those belonging to Quraysh. And then beyond that, the third step was to the public, to the masses. And this would continue until the end of the life of the Prophet. And when we look at the social and the political milieu of the time, the context of the time of revelation, we find that the revelation came in a very difficult context, one that was filled with various challenges, with various difficulties. There were several difficult circumstances in which the Prophet, peace be upon him, would proclaim to the masses the message. And that his community, his followers, they experienced several difficulties, various difficulties. And when we examine this history and that context in which the revelation was brought forth, we find that there are many great lessons that we can extract from this. Just this incident, the incident of the wahi, the revelation upon the Prophet, and the beginning of his responsibility to preach and to teach and to guide people to God,
we find that there are several major lessons that we can extract that are relevant even for our lives today, 1400 years later. And so today I briefly want to point to three lessons that we can draw from this event, that of the first revelation and the mab'ath of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala. The first lesson is that positive change does not occur easily. If we want to change ourselves, if we want to change our societies, our communities positively, this does not come easily. It requires a lot of time. It requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of hard work and to continuously struggle towards positive change. It doesn't occur easily. It doesn't happen overnight. There are no shortcuts to positive change. If it's that kind of change that we want to be sustainable, if we want change to be long-term, to be impactful, then it doesn't come easily. And there are no shortcuts. You know, we live at a time where we're sort of used to shortcuts, right? The advancements that we have in our life today, in the world that we live in, you know, the advancements in knowledge and technology, in communication and transportation, it does what for us? It gives us shortcuts. There used to be a time before, I think I may have mentioned this before, there used to be a time before, not too long ago, I would say the majority sitting here probably remember this time, the vast majority. Some don't. Where if you wanted to get from point A to point B, if you wanted to go somewhere, if you needed directions, you would go and you would look at a physical map. Right? You know, AAA used to give those maps out for free. They'd give you one of Orange County, Los Angeles County, and you'd go and you'd look at the map, you'd identify where you are exactly on the map, and the route that you are supposed to take to get to your destination. And then afterwards, you'd have to memorize this, or you'd have to have someone sitting in the car with you to give you that navigation, if it's a place that you have not been to. Then later on, there were sort of advancements in the technology, right? You would go online, on the internet, you would go on MapQuest, you would put in the origin and the destination, it would give you, you know, your directions step by step, and you'd print it out, and you would take it with you. Nowadays, all of us, when we navigate, we use what? We use our phones or our cars, and we have step by step navigation. Not only that, because our devices are connected to the internet, we have real-life traffic, you know, sort of updates. So sometimes you may have noticed that if you're driving somewhere and you have, you know, the navigation is telling you where to go, suddenly it tells you, you know what, I found a faster route. I found a route that will save you 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And most of us, if not all of us, we agree. It asks you, do you want to go on this route? You say, yes, of course. I want a shortcut. Before, it was just you and the road, unless you were really skilled. Sort of you had a geographic mind, if you will, and you knew where you were, and you could leave, and you can find a shortcut. But otherwise, if you're in an unfamiliar place, it's just you and the road, the directions that you have. If there's an accident, if there's traffic, it doesn't matter. You're stuck. You won't easily find a shortcut. Today, we're used to shortcuts. Shortcuts and our expectations of having shortcuts have kind of become part and parcel of our lives, right? But we know that positive change, long-term change, does not happen overnight. We cannot expect shortcuts. We cannot expect to be better people overnight immediately. We cannot expect our communities to become better overnight, immediately. This requires time. It requires effort. It requires constant struggle and work. And it is through this way that positive change occurs. The Prophet, the lesson that we learn from the Mab'ath of the Prophet is that the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, he gave it his all. He had a responsibility. He had a duty. This responsibility was to transform the lives, the souls, the hearts, the minds of his community, his family members, and the wider community, and all of humanity. This was his responsibility. The Prophet gave it his all. He gave all of his effort, all of his time, all of his money, all of his resources towards this positive change. Day and night, the Prophet worked towards this positive change. So the Prophet gave it his all, and we should always give our all. When working towards positive change, we have to give it our all. It has to be a matter of continuous effort, continuous struggle, non-stop work. So this is the first lesson. That positive change doesn't occur easily. It requires time and effort. The second lesson, which is related in a way to the first, is that we should never allow the difficulties and the challenges that we face in our lives, never allow them to make us give up. Not to give up. No matter what kind of challenges we face, no matter what kind of difficulties we face. The Quran tells us, with every hardship comes ease. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every hardship. There is no hardship that is not accompanied with ease. And this is the nature of our lives, brothers and sisters. There are times that are easier and there are times that are more difficult. And the successful person in this life is not the one that only has an easy life. No. The successful person is the one who is able to deal with the challenges that he or she faces in a manner that keeps them going. They don't give up. It's not that they don't fall down, but that they continue. They stand up once again. They don't stay there. You don't give up. Continue to struggle. It's only through the hard work that we put in, the effort that we put in, the constant struggle that we put in, that we are able to reap the fruits of our labor. The Quran tells us, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who struggle. جَاهَدُوا means they continuously struggle for God. They don't give up. They continuously work. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. God says, through this struggle, you will arrive at that intended destination. Just look at the early period in which the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family and his community, in which they were working. Struggle after struggle. Right? Just look at that early period when they were still in Mecca. They faced harsh rejection. The Prophet faced rejection by some of his family members, some of the people belonging to his tribe. They rejected him, and they rejected him harshly. Many times the Quran tells us that the Prophet was ridiculed. The Prophet was humiliated. He was accused of being a sorcerer, a magician, a liar. When we continue, we find that this rejection, it continued. The Prophet and the early community were placed under siege for several years. For a long period, they were placed under siege. They did not have access to resources, to adequate food and water and so on. They were placed under siege. They were attacked. The tradition tells us when the Prophet went to Al-Ta'if to proclaim the message, that the community, they attacked him and his followers, that they pelted them with stones. The Prophet himself was injured. Yet the Prophet did not give up. He did not give up. In fact, the tradition gives us something remarkable here. It tells us that the angel Jibra'il, he came and he asked the Prophet after he went through this difficulty, tell me what it is that you ask God to do with this community for treating you in this way. The Prophet turns, Allahu Akbar, look at the source of mercy, rahmah, and compassion. He begins to weep, he cries, he says, oh my Lord, do not punish them, for they do not know. They don't know. The Prophet doesn't give up. Several assassination attempts on his life, one of which leads him to have to flee Mecca, his hometown, and to migrate to Medina. And then in Medina, it doesn't get better, brothers and sisters. In Medina, we see every year after year, there is a battle. The Muslims are attacked, year after year. The Prophet had to deal with the hypocrites. Yet all of these challenges, all of these difficulties did not allow him to give up. He did not one day stand and say, you know what, Ilahi, my Lord, this is too much. You've given me a responsibility that is just too much for me. I can't handle it. Please choose someone else. Never gave up. He continuously worked hard. The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family never gave up, and neither should we, brothers and sisters. Neither should we. Giving up should never be an option for us. In the journey of doing that which is right, doing that which is better, in our life journeys, we should never give up. We should constantly work and continuously work hard and seek inspiration from the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, who teach us the importance of continuously struggling, working hard. This is the second lesson. And the third lesson, finally, is that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, he had deep faith in God. Part of what allowed him to continuously struggle, not give up, to work, is that he had absolute dependency on his Lord. He had absolute dependency and faith in God. But not only in God, the Prophet had a commitment to his community. That revelation, yes, it was brought down upon the Prophet as an individual, as such, only the messenger. He was unique in this sense that he received the revelation directly from God, right? No other person shared in this responsibility, in this honor. Yet his deliverance of the message and meaning and continuing to form the community and to help the community was not a one-man show. It was not. The Prophet had faith not just in God, but also in his community, also in his genuine followers, in his authentic followers, those that stood with him, those that accepted him, those that worked with him very closely. They were loyal to him and they were loyal to God. In fact, the Prophet, he himself, he makes clear, he says that Islam would not have come forth, it would not have become successful had it not been for the support of Khadija and Ali. مَا قَامَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَا اسْتَقَامِ إِلَّا بِمَالِ خَدِيجَ وَسَيْفِ عَلِي. Here, the Prophet is saying, I had assistance. I had help. I had individuals such as Khadija, such as Ali, such as others who helped. I was able to depend on their loyalty, on their faith, on their iman, in order to move the community forward. It was not a one-man show. He was active in his commitment to his community. And this is a lesson that we learn, brothers and sisters. Lesson that we learn is that we have to also have deep faith in God. Tawakkul. This commitment to our dependency on God, number one, and also on our brothers and sisters, on our community. That we turn to one another, we commit to one another, we commit to working with one another, cooperating with one another. Unfortunately, sometimes we find in ourselves, we find in communities that there are those who it seems that they are, their objective is not only not to work with others, but to destroy others. If they see someone is doing something good, a community is doing something good, unfortunately, the jealousy begins to creep in, the ego begins to creep in, and instead of cooperating and helping one another, they begin to destroy one another, they fight one another. We oftentimes find this in our communities. This is a problem. We are expected to strengthen the bonds of community, to strengthen the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, whereby our objective and our mission is the same, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the satisfaction of Allah, and the betterment of our communities. And so this is another lesson that we learn from this event, from the mab'ath of the Holy Prophet, from this beautiful occasion in our history. The mab'ath represented a new dawn in human civilization. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala charged the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family with delivering this message that would change the world forever, that would inspire countless hearts and minds towards recognizing God and towards turning to that which is good. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to make this a blessed occasion for us and to open our hearts and minds so that we are inspired by the prophetic message and teachings. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.